It's funny that in this time they wouldn't see a woman and a large wooden man walking with her and not be like, a witch.
Yeah.
Absolutely a witch.
Yeah. The weird orphan girl who lives in the forest with her dad's puppets, like, yeah, all of a sudden
emerges with a big not a witch man to buy some pants.
Yeah. No. Girlie could never.
Hello.
Hey, it's you. Welcome.
Welcome to Say Smut, a literary podcast for readers and non-readers.
It is so great to have you with us today. That is Sarah, and she loves books.
And that's Hope. She loves talking to me about books. Each episode, I break down the plots of some pretty wild books to Hope who has not read them. Hope.
Yes. Ugh.
Damn, this cold is getting us in our neck of the woods.
Frigid. It is so cold.
So my thought process behind this week, first of all, I saw a sneak peek of this because it came out last week. Mm. I saw a sneak peek of it a while back and I thought, you know what? What's more cozy when it's snowing and it's cold and you get cozied up to kind of have a fairy tale story, like an old, like maybe a little Brothers Grimmy type story.
Sure.
To bring to the forefront. So that is what we are doing today. We are covering Hard as Wood by G.M. Ferry.
Good. Let me just write one down quick. Hard as wood.
And that's W-O-O-D, not W-O-U-L-D, just in case you were curious.
There was no confusion on my part. That seemed pretty obvious.
Excellent. I love to hear it. So the best part about this is it's kind of a deep cut. This book is from an anthology of non-human romances called Strange Love. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was put together a bunch of short stories, by, I can't remember what the organization is called that put them together, but it is a anthology that you can buy on like Kindle. And it's on KU. I was about to say that you could buy it on KU, but the whole point is that. Anyway, you guys, I'm a little tongue-tied today.
It's Monday, okay? And it's so cold.
Ooh, it is so cold. So what I'm trying to say is that a bunch of authors came together, wrote a bunch of short stories for this anthology that they are selling as a fundraiser for Trinity Haven, which helps LGBTQ+ youth who are at risk of homelessness. And so we love this. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to go read it, you can go read all of the short stories on KU or purchase it for $9.99 on Amazon. I know we hate Jeff Bezos, but it is for a good cause. And then if you do it through KU, they get paid based on page views. So just keep swiping through those pages and reading it and they'll get the money. So some of our besties also wrote books, little mini books for this big book, like Vera Valentine, who did Unhinged, or Sabrina Cross, who did Light Me Up, or Unfortunate Reads, who did Handle Me, which have all been books that we have covered. And so I thought I saw a teaser for this. It came out last week. And so I don't have any ratings for it. I don't have a cover for this specific book because all I have is the cover for the anthology. So what we're going to do when we get to the point of grading this is we're just going to measure with our heart with a one-time grade. Okay. With a percentage. Okay. Out of 100%, what are we going to grade it? Because I think it'd be unfair to do just smut and plot. Like, that's not enough factors, I feel like, for us to get an average out of.
Yeah, totally.
So before we get into Hard as Wood, we have some content warnings, which I don't have much other than the death of a parent, which is off page. It's just mentioned. And then sexual content and voyeurism, a little bit of voyeurism. About the author, I could not find much about them. Okay. G.M. Ferry is a best-selling romance author who dabbles in fantasy, sci-fi, and all things whimsical. That's all we know. That's all it is, folks.
That's very whimsical to only have that much information about yourself.
Yeah, it's very mysterious, leaving us in the lurch, you know. Don't know. We don't know who they are. We don't know what their life is like. They only provide these wonderful stories. So do you have any thoughts, concerns, suggestions before we jump into our book?
No, I am ready to dive right in.
Okay. So as we go in, I want to set a scene, mm-hmm. which is a scene that I am completely making up. Okay.
Because
they never really told us what the time frame of this book is, okay. but based on context clues from this book, I'm going to assume we're picturing like late 1600s, maybe like a European kind of town square, market square. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like wagons and like cobbled, you know, streets, all of mm-hmm. that. Okay.
Yeah. Got you.
Our main character is Clara, and I'm going to go by Clara, not Clara, because I have no clue which way to say it.
Fair enough.
She has always been invisible. Okay. She's like 25 years old, orphan girl, and she's like 5'1", like kind of small, kind of like sneaks her way through life. No one really pays attention to her.
Oh, not right? literally invisible.
No. Oh my God, I wish that was the plot line here. No,
I assumed her whole life she was literally invisible and then became confused as you were starting to describe the physical features
yeah.
she had.
Look, that kind of reminds me of a different book. It's not a smut book, but it's called The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue, and it's this idea that the girl made a deal with the devil like back in like the 1700s, and she lives forever and ever, but no one remembers her Aww. After they see her. So like you'll meet her, and then if she were to like go to the bathroom and come back, you have no idea who she is.
Wow, that's sad.
So it's a very interesting plot line. So that's what it kind of reminded me of when you said that. Okay, back to our girl. She's like invisible in the social sense, gotcha. Right? So no one really pays attention to her. People are kind of running into her. They don't realize that they're in her way, kind of that thing, right?
Sure.
Okay. So she's in the market square getting what she needs to get. She's kind of frustrated, but when she gets back home, she's greeted by her true companions.
Okay.
The wooden puppets that her late father had made.
No, mm-hmm. not puppets.
Yeah. She apologizes to one of the puppets because she forgot to pick up a button while at the market because she's making that puppet a new sweater. But she'll get it next time. But she did get fresh paint to fix one of the puppet's eyes that is chipped. And that puppet is her favorite puppet mm-hmm. because that's the one her father specifically made for her. And his name is Pinio.
Okay.
Do you see where things are going based on your research?
I saw where things were going as soon as you mentioned puppets. It's yeah. a little, if it keeps going where I think it's going to go, I'm concerned a lot.
For what?
So these are puppets that her dad made.
Uh-huh.
That's interesting.
No, there's definitely some sort of borderline relationship here that is a little concerning, but we'll get into that here a little later. I asked you to do a specific research, which I'm sure you can see how it folds in now.
Yes.
Would you mind sharing what that research is?
Yes. Welcome to Got Morphable Wood That Exposes When You're a Big Fat Liar. The truth,
oddly specific.
The truth and lies about OG Pinocchio.
OG Pinocchio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes. I'm ready.
Yes, thank you so much to the Smithsonian Magazine, the New Yorker, NBC, for all of my information. Sarah asked me to research the origin of Pinocchio. And so I was like, okay, I think I've seen the movie maybe once.
Yeah.
Like, I know it, obviously.
I mean, I think we all know the concept of Pinocchio.
Right, and we'll get into it, but like, I think I've probably seen the movie once.
Yeah.
And okay. None of the other 500 Pinocchio movies.
Yes. Like, what's the director's name who did a stop motion back a couple
Benicio
years ago?
Del Toro?
Yes. He did a stop motion version, essentially, of Pinocchio.
Amazing. I'm going to make a recommendation at the end of my research.
Okay.
So stay tuned. Anywho's, so yeah, who and when gave us the story of Pinocchio, you may ask, because Sarah asked me. And I'm here to tell you, the story of Pinocchio was written by a man named Carlo Lorenzini, but under the pen name Carlo Collodi, I believe. And this man was from Collodi, Italy. And so for the beginning of this research, I was super confused because I was like, the writer is Carlo Collodi.
Yes.
But he's from there. But wait, is that his name? And then in exactly one article I saw was like, it was a pen name. And I was like,
we see what you did there.
Thank you,
Carlo.
It is. I was like, what is it? Is it name? Is it location? It's both.
It is. It's like, it kind of reminds me of like when Bridgerton happens and it's like the Duke of Hastings and people will call him Hastings, but technically Hastings is the dukedom.
Yeah, right? It's like, and not so his know, name at all.
That's not his name, but it is his name, but it's not his name. Yeah.
So complicated. Anyway, back to the research though. So the story was originally published as like a serial comic essentially in 1881 in the children's newspaper in Italy. And it was later kind of combined all together and finished out and published as a full novel called The Adventures of Pinocchio in 1883. So like most things, the story of a puppet, which is what the comic was called, was like vastly different and way, 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 way worse.
What?
Than the original Pinocchio, or like the Pinocchio story we are familiar with today. Like, things are similar, there's similarities, but there are also parts of it that are just like much more upsetting than the story that we're used to.
I feel like this happens all the time when people mm-hmm. think it's popular because of Disney, right?
Yes.
And then you find out that like the Grimm's story is actually way darker mm-hmm. or like whatever it is, because like we had no censorship for children's content back right. then.
Yeah, it is pretty much like that. So Disney and like adjacent more recent tellings of Pinocchio more or less follow the same plot, which is like a lonely old man named Geppetto builds a boy out of wood because he wants a son. And he names his puppet Pinocchio and he comes to life after Geppetto wishes on a star. And a fun fact about this puppet is that when he lies, his nose grows. Amazing. He doesn't have a conscience, but he is given a cricket named Jiminy Cricket to be his conscience as he goes about life. And despite this, he is frequently swindled into naughtiness, like left and right. He gets himself sold into a traveling show. He gets saved by a fairy despite lying so much about the circumstances of him being in trouble in the first place.
Oh my God.
She is like, please stop being a turd or you will not be a real boy. And he's like, I promise I will not be a turd. And then immediately he gets swindled again. This time going to a place called Pleasure Island where everybody drinks and smokes cigars. Like everybody has beer and cigars. And like the good news is you get access to those things, and the bad news is that over time you turn into a donkey.
Oh, I forgot about this.
Yeah, part. And the trade-off is like you can act like a jackass, but then you become one and sold into weird animal slavery. And eventually Pinocchio runs away, and like goes home to find Geppetto. But oops, Geppetto's not home because Pinocchio's been like fucking off all over the place. And we went to go look for his puppet son. And so I don't know what exactly happened, but Geppetto Google map fails so hard that he ends up like swallowed by a whale in the ocean. And TLDR, Pinocchio enters the ocean and saves Geppetto and almost dies, but then is turned into a real boy. That's like the nice Disney version.
Which is already kind of fucked up, if I can say that. Like
It's weird. I don't personally know a lot of people who are like, you know what movie I enjoyed? This one, Pinocchio, any version of it. But for some, it's great. And, you know, it's got When You Wish Upon a Star, and that's a classic.
Yes.
So, yeah, the like original Pinocchio is sort of like that, but worse. And so I have like kind of a trigger warning for like violence to puppets, including but not limited to burning of limbs and hanging from a tree.
Oh, God.
And being eaten. Anyway, so from the jump in this story, Geppetto like chops and carves Pinocchio from a tree. And as he's chopping the wood is like, ow, why did you chop me? You like feel it? And that's upsetting. And as Geppetto is making him, he like starts to form a nose for Pinocchio and like it starts growing a whole bunch as he's trying to shape it. So he keeps whittling it and it keeps growing and like that's a lot of nose growing, but there's not so much correlation about like he lies and it grows. It's just kind of this clowny thing that happens.
Yeah.
At one point at his home with Geppetto, Pinocchio burns his own feet off because he falls asleep next to like a fire, essentially. And that's very distressing. Geppetto sends him out to like go do school and whatever. And also eventually Geppetto hopes that Pinocchio can like maybe street perform to make money for him when he gets old.
Gosh. Child labor. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's a long time ago in Italy. And what are you going to do?
That's fair. That's fair.
So this is when Pinocchio like blows school and all of this stuff. They do in the original version try to give him a wise cricket friend to help him make good choices. But then Pinocchio smashes him to death with a mallet. Like smashes him into a wall with a mallet.
No,
we're trying to tell him to go to trying to tell him to go to school. And like the characters who help pull Pinocchio away from the school and into this like puppet show, like in the movie, those two characters in the original comics like take his money and hang him from a tree.
Which like okay, but would that just be making him so he can't leave? Like it's not killing him.
Unclear because there is some sort of like description of losing of consciousness. It is bizarre.
That is distressing.
At some point, Pinocchio misbehaves in a way that manages to get Geppetto arrested. It's like such a mess. Pinocchio does still get swallowed by a whale and save Geppetto, but there's also a situation where like so Pinocchio is turned into a donkey. And someone's going to try and eat him. And then he like escapes into the ocean and the fish around him eat away the donkey. And then he's back to being a wood puppet boy.
Okay.
But other than that, the stories are similar. And that's it. That's where it comes from is this. This guy wrote these for the children's. What do I call it? What? Not the children's newspaper. That's so silly. Where is it? It is. It's the children's newspaper. That's so funny. It just makes me think of little kids dressed up like old people reading newspapers.
I mean, is that not what children do nowadays? I mean, I don't know what they're up to, but I assume.
They're just tiny adults.
They're just tiny adults doing their taxes.
Maybe. Anyway.
Crazy.
The original Pinocchio stories were like educational for children. And also they were kind of political for parents.
I'm curious how this is educational.
Yeah, well, I think like in the individual like bits of stories, like Pinocchio being made is one like part of a story that would go out in the newspaper, and then a different edition, a different adventure Pinocchio would go on would go out, and like behind each one would have a moral or sort of like a less obvious message about like wealth and poverty and corruption in Italy at the time. So Smithsonian Magazine had an article, The Real Story of Pinocchio Tells No Lies, and it has a really interesting deep dive into more of the political themes of the story. I didn't dive into this for the purposes of our research, but I recommend reading it. Instead, I have assigned listeners homework.
Okay.
And that is that if you haven't already, you need to Google and then watch the trailer for the mind-blowing 2021 film Pinocchio, A True Story. It is the best one, and you will hear why pretty quickly into watching the trailer. You don't have to watch the movie. I just want you to watch the trailer and then live in that.
Yes.
It's pretty much
it. As soon as you started saying it, I was like, I know exactly which one you're talking about. The most yassified son of...
So good.
Also a Disney-prone character. Like, I just think he's also so gay. Also
called Pinocchio, A True Story. The implications are crazy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Anyway, that's all. Hey, just check it out in your free time.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was great. I am sorry. I think it's interesting this idea of like almost like after school cartoons that are supposed to be teaching you life lessons and having political implications. Sorry, everyone. But it's kind of like there's this trend going around on social media right now, and they're like, My parents want to know when I was radicalized, and then like they show something from their childhood that was like, this was like an after school special that we all watched. And like, of course, this radicalized us in whatever sense. Wonderful. Thank you very much. Again, really concerned about some of those themes.
Yeah. But, yeah.
I mean, the hanging from the tree really
very upsetting.
Okay.
Very upsetting.
So let's talk about Pinio. of all the puppets that Clara's father made, Pinio was her favorite because her father surprised her with him on her fifth birthday. Okay.
Okay.
She's 25 years old. So she's had this doll for, or this puppet for 20 years. It's seen her through the ups and downs. So when they would do little productions, he always, like, Pinio played the Prince Charming character when she would play with them.
Right.
And she admits that Pinio set the standard for men in her life. And that if a man didn't match up to Pinio, he wasn't worth it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you were on the verge of saying something.
No, I'm just along for the ride. I'm sure this is going to end in a way that is interesting.
As all of our episodes do. Mm-hmm. Clara is a virgin in every sense of the word. Never been kissed, never done anything, never been fondled, never even like a little boob grab, a little tushy grab, nothing.
Not even a little boob?
Not even a little titty tossing.
That's okay.
But that doesn't mean she doesn't have needs or feels lonely at times, you know. And of course, she's taken matters into her own hands. Good. She just hasn't done it with other people.
Sure.
So back to the scene at hand. You know, she comes home. She's kind of like putting things away. And then she gets her doll situated. And she then goes and sits on a chair and stares dramatically out the window while sipping her tea. And notices a very bright star in the sky. And as she's kind of drifting, she wishes that Pinio was real and falls asleep. Mm-hmm. The next chapter is from Pinio's POV.
Great.
Hope, will you tell me what typically happens in our books when inanimate objects become conscious for the first time?
I mean, most of the time, if it's something that's been like around the main character for a while, we'll dive into their thoughts and they'll be like, I've been watching this person ever since I entered their life and I've always loved them, but they've never looked my way until now, is like usually how it goes.
Usually. Yes. You are fairly on the head. Another aspect of that is that, like, we've always critiqued that they don't know a bulk of the human stuff or like human courtesies or like how things work. But there's a random list always of things that they just know how to do. You know, they know how they work. They know what they do, whatever.
Right.
So when Pinio wakes up, he's like, damn, everything's around me is so much smaller compared to how they were when I fell asleep last night. And then he like is like looking around and he's like, damn. And then he moves to touch a hand to his face and then like startles himself because he realizes he can move his hand to his face. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. What? And,
so he has had some form of consciousness, but he's never been able to like move or communicate before.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make this visual very clear.
Okay.
He is now grown, obviously, to full man size.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still on the shelf that he was on.
Oh, wow. The structural integrity.
Yes. So he notices Clara, whatever. I'm going to go between the two. And of course, he's been obsessed with her forever. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he's never been able to do anything about it. But that's all about to change, as you, the listener, can probably foreshadow. So before I get too far into this, I should also note that he cannot communicate with the other dolls. Okay.
Okay.
He does not know their consciousness. He does not know, but he secretly wishes Clara would get rid of the other dolls so he could have her undivided attention. But then he's also like, well, those dolls do bring her joy and I don't want to take any joy away from her. So I guess she can keep them.
What a fascinating subplot.
Yeah. So in his sudden realization he can move, he like screams and falls off the shelf.
Relatable.
And then Clara wakes up and screams. And then he looks at Clara and is like, what's wrong?
Dude.
You screamed first.
Sir.
Sir, I was sleeping and looking wistfully outside of my window. And
you are presumably a grown man who was sitting on a shelf. Lots of questions about that.
Of course, the initial reaction is always like semi-logical from our girl, or typically it's a girl, but semi-logical from our person, and till it becomes not logical. So obviously she thinks he's some man who broke into her house.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. The thought is not my wish has come true.
No, no, no. Until you realize that he is also still wooden and stuff. So I'm like, context clues, my girl.
How can I didn't realize he was still wooden.
We will get into a description. Now. We'll get into a description here in a second.
Good.
So she's like, did you break into my house? You need to leave, blah, blah, blah. And he's like looking around like, who are you talking to? And then when she throws a pillow at him, he's like, oh, wait, probably she's talking to me.
Oh.
Finio is so confused because he's like, I've always been her favorite. I've always had the most attention than the other dolls. She even likes to watch me when she puts her hand between her legs. So like, how could she be afraid of me?
That is always the case. I'm not laughing because I'm surprised. That is frequently the case.
No, it is so, it's so, okay. It's like the same equation, right? Like they wake up with some consciousness that they somehow like have a magical list of things they can and can't do. And then they run into the person who made them conscious. And then they'll be like, oh my gosh, how are you freaked out about me? And the person who made them conscious, who literally wished for them to come, like, come alive, is like, oh my god, who the fuck are you?
How did this happen?
How did this happen?
I absolutely wished for happen.
Yes. So Clara takes a closer look at this wooden man in front of her and finally puts it together that this is Pinio.
It's possible.
It's possible. It's actually him. It's not just a man cosplaying as Pinocchio. And so they're suddenly in each other's arms, like embracing and like talking about how crazy this is.
I still would have maybe just asked to confirm.
I mean, she does. She does. Okay, I don't want to act like she just, I'm skipping some of the dialogue here.
Okay, but no, that's fine.
But here's a description of our Pinio. Okay.
Yes, please.
His body is wooden. Okay.
Yes.
I wish we would have gotten more description on like what has hinges and what is just like soft tissue, I guess, with wood overlay. Like I need to understand like how, yeah. Anyway, so his body's wooden, his clothes grew with him. And so they're fabric and like normal.
Not and nude. That was going to be my first question.
Yes, this was noted, which we've talked about before. And his head, his hair is made up of blonde horse hair.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. And he's got the green painted eyes and he's pretty much just exactly the same, but taller and larger.
Okay. Did it describe his outfit?
No, unfortunately.
That's okay.
We will talk about his pants later, but
okay, that's good to know.
She's like, how could this be? And he's like, it must have been your wish last night. And she's like, of course, just like it is in the storybooks.
Okay. So this is a universe in which Pinocchio exists.
Sure.
This is either a universe in which Pinocchio, the stories exist, or Pinocchio, a true story has happened in this universe. It's a true story.
It is a true story. So they kiss. And you know,
immediately,
I need to know so many details about when inanimate objects kiss humans.
Does
so,
he
like,
have wood lips carved into the face? Okay. Or does he have a hole just kind of drilled into his face?
He says he has lips. And at one point, he mentions that she uses tongue on him. Does not mention if he has a tongue, but I have to assume he does if he's talking.
I would hope.
And then I'm like,
but then is it wood?
Yeah. Like, how soft is his lips? Like, I want to understand, is it like hard wood? Is it actually wood?
Is he clickety clacking when he's talking?
Yes. Or is it like, are things like on hinges? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that they're moving around? Or is like some magic element that he has like soft tissue on this wood? I don't know. I have a lot of questions.
So many questions.
So, but I guess, yeah, they make out. And we get to my favorite part. The moment a human character wonders if the object has watched the masturbate.
I guess he's only said in his own mind, she likes to watch. Okay. Yeah. At some point you got to ask, especially if you've started making out with that thing.
I just love how it's almost immediate where like I thought about this with a door. I thought about that. Like this has been in so many of them that it's like, wait, have you watched me masturbate? And so Clara asks him if he's ever seen her put her hand between her legs. And he doesn't want to creep her out because he's put together that when she does that,
she typically closes the curtains and stuff when she does it. So it has to be semi-private, which I'm like, okay, I'm glad we're putting that together, because otherwise how would he know that's like a private thing to be,
right,
you know, secretive about?
Right.
So he's like, I should probably not creep her out. And so he's like, I haven't seen you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And instantly there's a ripping noise.
Oh,
okay.
Oh no, wait.
Do you know where this is going?
Yeah, I think so.
Would you like to share with the class?
Well, it's just, I assumed the thing that was going to be growing was his nose. And then I forgot that this is a SWAP book podcast. So it's not his nose.
It's not.
It's his dick for sure.
No, it is his dick.
What is
So his pants have ripped because his penis grew from the lie. And she's like, is that your, and he says, I think it's my penis.
He's just finding this out in real time that he can't lie.
Yeah. I honestly think after reading this book, this man had more thoughts about his own penis than he did about her, because he talks over the course of the 38 pages of this book, or however long it was, he talked excessively about his own penis and the wonders of his penis. Okay.
So he is sort of aware of the function of his penis.
We will get into how much he knows or does not know. Okay.
Okay, great.
So he has never had a penis before.
Oh.
And now that he has one, it's a surprise. So he was like, he says something along the lines of how he was not crafted with one, right?
Sure.
I don't think daddy made a penis on the doll, okay?
I would hope not, because I'm trying to forget that daddy made this doll at all.
Oh, it's going to get worse.
Oh, no. Okay.
So he says to them, do they usually grow when you tell a lie? And she said, did you just lie? And she tells him, like, you don't have to lie to me. And he's like, yeah, I've watched you all these years, but I watch you all the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And as they're embracing, because she's like, oh my God, you're so perfect. Because they just keep embracing. Like, they're just so smitten with each other immediately. As they're embracing, some liquid comes out from his wooden rod. I should also note that she has to, like, step around the rod. Like, it is
large. It comes, like, it's, like, through his pants.
Yes, it has ripped through his pants. It is straight out hard wood.
Okay.
Hard as wood, you could say, which is the name of our book. But she has to, like, step around it, right? Like, it's not like it can bend at all. You know what I mean?
Because it's wood?
Yeah.
Or you could limbo under it, though.
Oh, that would be a fun party trick. Anyway, just tell a bunch of lies. And then everyone limbo. Okay, so a little liquid leaks out from his wooden rod, and she takes a taste. Would you like to know, or guess, I guess, what it tastes like?
The first thing I want to say is I have to applaud the bravery of most of the main characters in all of these stories for seeing something come out of an orifice, sometimes of a creature, sometimes of an inanimate object, and immediately, without second guessing themselves, will put it in their mouth to see what's up.
They're like, I only live once, you know?
Just how many times am I going to have...
How many times am I going to have sex with a wooden doll?
No fear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so liquid comes out of a wooden puppet.
Yes.
I'm going to go with a syrupy flavor, like maple syrup, because he's wood, which is from a tree.
That is correct. It is maple syrup. So,
I feel like, I just want a semen flavor game.
Yeah. We should start counting points how many times you get it correct.
Point one for me.
So I should say that his internal dialogue is around his fascination and frustration with his penis is very funny. Like, he will go one paragraph talking about how great a penis is, and then, like, something will happen and he'll be like, I fucking hate this penis. Blah, blah, blah. And, like, it's just, so here's a quote. Okay. Quote, I thank the maker for the sprinkles of knowledge about my new body encoded in my wooden brain. I am confused about a lot of things, but I'm grateful I at least know some things about my genitals. End quote.
Great. Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way.
Knowledge is power.
Clara gets on her knees and he's like suspicious. She's like, he's like, I think she's going to put her mouth on that. And he starts feeling a lot of things stirring around inside him. And so he's like, I feel like my, he says, my penis feels dangerous.
Oh, honestly though,
he's not wrong. No. So
that's, you should keep that in mind all the time and act accordingly.
If I were to be giving a blowjob to Pinocchio, the number one thing I'm concerned about, splinters, right?
First of all, in this very specific scenario, you should be incredibly worried about danger.
I should be very worried about the danger. Yes. Yes. Yeah. This is a dangerous tool. So I just couldn't stop thinking about this. As she's going down and giving him head, I'm like, the splinters. The splinters sound heinous.
I'm scared.
So he's kind of convinced that he's going to explode and or die or something of the sort. And he's not quite sure. So he's like kind of terrified, but also loving this experience. And after he finishes, he says, what did you do to me? And she admits that she probably should have asked for consent first.
Yes. This is true. Wow.
Yeah. And she's explaining a blowjob to him and how she doesn't give them to just anyone. And like, she likes him romantically and that's why she wanted to give it to him. And then we get this direct quote. I always liked you a little more than I should like a wooden doll.
Okay.
Okay. As we can tell, when you give him a blowjob within his first 10 minutes of life.
Being alive.
He also low-key admits that she would kiss him sometimes when he was a doll. So.
Well. You got to practice somewhere, I guess.
No, okay. He takes her to the bedroom and decides he's going to make her feel good too. And she admits that she's a virgin. And I'm thinking, ma'am, what do you think he is? But
yeah, you just made him feel like his dick was going to explode. And also like maybe he would die.
Yeah.
That just happened for him for the first time.
I don't think that you should feel so self-conscious towards a wooden doll who just came to life for the first time.
Probably not.
So they decide, we're going to explore this together. So he's fingering her and she says, oh, God. Just like, you know, we would use the word God. He would use the word maker. So he does not know. Yeah, apparently that's his religion. He does not know who God is. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he gets jealous and says, quote, I only want to hear my name on your lips. I'm the one who's filling you, not God.
That is so interesting.
That is, look, all of this stuff was stuff that I was like, what an interesting way to phrase that.
What an interesting way to phrase that.
Apparently he's doing very well at this and his at fingering her, and his internal dialogue says something about him always being a good student. And I'm thinking to myself, when have you ever been a student?
Yeah, like please provide context for the times in which you were given lessons to do anything.
When have you ever had any responsibilities in your life, Pinocchio? Okay. Like, Pinio, sorry. Like, you haven't had to learn anything. So how do you know that I've always been a good student? Okay, Pinio, shut up. All right. So he blows in his ripped pants when she blows, and then they get all cuddled up and they go to sleep, and she doesn't want to fall asleep because she's like, what if this is a dream the whole time? And then she wakes up because she had to sleep. And of course she thinks it was a dream. And when he's not beside her, she's convinced it probably was. But then there's some banging around in the kitchen and she's like, he's still here. And then she goes out there and he's like, yeah, I don't know how to cook. And I'm thinking,
first of all, I just want to present an alternate idea where instead of she hears banging around in the kitchen and it's Pinio, it's that she hears banging around in the kitchen and this time there really is an intruder in her home.
Yeah. She's like, Pinio, or it's all the other dolls come to life and they're like, what the fuck is going on here?
But I do love that he's like, I'm just in here and I don't know how anything works.
And I would be like, Pinio, you're so flammable. You should probably leave.
Please just exit.
Please don't go near the stove whatsoever. Anyway, so she's like, his pants are still ripped. And so she's like, let's go to town and get some food, like get some good food and get some new pants for you. And she has like maybe one moment where she's like,
It might be a little weird to bring a wooden man out in public, but, you know, I'm pretty much invisible to everybody, so it won't matter.
And again, to clarify, not literally invisible, just socially invisible.
She's just like, no one will notice him. That's fine.
Yeah. What could possibly happen?
What could possibly happen? That is not what happens. Everybody notices him, and they're all, like, smitten with him. They think he's, like, so hot.
Interesting. Not the reaction I thought we
would get. Women are like flirting with him. Some men are flirting with him. Like, it's like,
honestly,
a whole
I'm
thing.
Down for the open-mindedness of this community.
Yes. Clara is insanely jealous, and she's like, yeah. I think he'll leave me if he realizes how many people are into him. Like, even
he's
though he can't
so
keep
hot.
His yeah,
don't
even though,
let him know he's hot.
Yeah. He can't keep his eyes off of me, but I also think he's gonna leave me. So they go home, and she, like, for some reason, the whole town followed them home and are, like, looking in her windows like some crazed fans or something. It's so weird. So, like, he closes the curtains and he's like, oh, my maker, I can't believe that they're all here. And then Clara is clearly upset and, like, has this weird temper tantrum and storms off to her room to mope and cry and take a nap. And Pinio was like, well, can I come with you to mope and cry and take a nap? And she's like, no.
Also desire moping, crying, and taking a nap.
And she's like, I'll come talk to you when I'm ready to talk to you. So as they're in separate rooms, he's like, you know what? I think I embarrassed her. Like, she loved her privacy before. No one ever came to the house before. But now they're all here. And, like, I just think that, you know, she's probably really embarrassed of me, and I should leave her. But I want to say goodbye first. So when she is done taking her nap, and apparently she ate granola after taking the nap. I don't know.
That's a very interesting detail to include in what you're about to say, Sarah.
No, I just think, like, she was like, you feel so much better after a good cry and a nap and some granola. Okay.
Fascinating.
So she's like, I'm ready to talk to him. So she goes out into the main room, and she like is trying to approach him and be like, I'm sorry that I was like upset before. And he's like, look, I don't want to embarrass you anymore. I think I should leave. And she's like, do you really think you could live happily without me? And he's like, yeah. And then rip.
Oh, okay.
And then his penis just breaks through the brand new pants that he just got.
Fascinating and sad for the pants. Okay, and here's a question, Sarah. So, you know that Pinio is lying because his penis just grew a whole lot. What do you do personally once you've had the information that this man was willing to lie to you under these circumstances? Like, it's one thing to always know that he's lying and then you can, like, get the truth from him, but then you also have to take a step back and, like, look at the scenarios in which this wood man is just lying to you.
Yes, yes. Well, that's kind of, I mean, they do talk about some of this. So obviously his pants rip because his penis gets huge from this lie. This is a big lie.
Oh,
so
it's proportional
massive.
To the lie?
I guess so.
White lies are just like morning small wood, and then like a huge lie is through the pants out the door.
Yeah. So anyway, she kind of is like, what, why would you lie to me about that? And he was like, I just think you're embarrassed of me. And like, I just feel really bad. Like, I've uprooted your life. And that, like, really, I don't think that, like, as much as I love you, or not, he doesn't say I love you, but he's like, as much as I care about you and I want to be with you, like, I just don't think I'm what's best for you. And she was like, I will determine that, you know, like, does that whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
You
that's
to choose.
They talk
me.
About it, you sure. know, and he's not doing it to be a dick.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing it to get a dick. You know,
in something,
but get a dick because his dick actually gets.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to explain the joke then. Okay. So
yeah, we all know that lying makes his dick big. We're all there.
Yes. Okay. So what better way to make up than having sex with his like 6 foot long dick? Okay. So, at one point she like exaggerates and calls it 6 feet long, which I'm like, I don't think that's accurate. Okay. So his penis is so long though. She's like, we're not sure how this is going to fit. But and wow. He's like, I don't want to hurt you. And she's like, no, I'll work this in somehow. And she goes to the kitchen, goes into the cupboard and grabs some coconut oil for some lubrication because she's like, we need to oil you up.
I just have so many concerns about the choices we're making for DIY lubrication.
Well, what's wrong with this? We put coconut oil on so many things.
But do we put it inside so many things?
We eat it.
Yeah, that's a different orifice that it's going in, Sarah.
I don't know. I'm not a fucking doctor, okay? We need to put disclaimers in each of our episodes now. We are not doctors. Look, of all the things that we've put in our fictional characters' bodies in these episodes, this is not the most concerning to me.
It makes me need to cross my legs.
I'm more concerned about his cum, okay? I'm more concerned about the maple syrup of it all, okay?
Sure, yeah. Well, we're Fair? All concerned about that.
Okay. So, he, yes, they are lubricating it. Mm-hmm. And they eventually get to Pound Town, and I think they're kind of in like a standing doggy style almost. They didn't describe this extremely well. So I wish that we got a little more understanding of what positions we're in. But when he's putting himself in and they're kind of getting adjusted, you know, like put it in a little way, get adjusted, they realize that her vagina can tame his penis.
Like shrink it back down to normal. Yes. Okay.
Her vagina is the magical cure to making his dick a normal size.
Wow.
So, So they both reach completion and his penis goes back to a very normal size. Okay. Like, you know, post orgasm normal. We are getting to the end. Do you want to guess what we'll finish off with?
Well, I assume they're going to be together forever because society cannot see her. And so she has no one else but these puppets. And she has now wished this one alive and she liked him the most anyway. So
Yeah.
It's still weird that her dad made it. I'm sorry.
The way I've ignored those points in the book. Okay. So they get done and they're cuddling and they're so happy. He's like so full of joy. And he's like, I have this feeling inside of me. I just don't understand what it is. And she's like, I love you. And he's like, that's what it is. That's what it is. Oh. I love you too. And then Pinio starts levitating. Okay. Whoa. And he's levitating so far off the ground that his head nearly hits the ceiling, which by the way, that's the second book in the row where we talk about a head nearly hitting the ceiling.
I was afraid that his dick was going to start growing and that was going to be a really horrible
story. I love you. The penis just ripped just out of the pants.
Absolutely out of the room. So big.
Okay, so man's levitating Stranger Things style, okay? And there's a mist. Even though they're inside, there's a mist that has formed. And there are sparkling lights in that mist. Wow. And she's convinced that he's going to leave her. But when the mist clears, he's a real man.
Wow.
And he's like, I'm so happy. I won't have to embarrass you anymore. And my wooden form. And she's like, you never embarrassed me.
I would have absolutely paraded you around publicly.
Clearly, everyone already likes you. And they declare their eternal love for one another. And they kiss. And that's the end.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Isn't that gorgeous?
It might disappoint all the people who were really into him when he was a puppet.
No, maybe. They might be like, now you're not as hot.
Yeah, it's kind of like in Beauty and the Beast when the beast turns into a human. And you're like, Could you go back? Could you go back?
Could you just maybe like reverse it a little bit? Like uno reverse?
reverse.
What are your thoughts, feelings, concerns, suggestions?
I'm just going to continue to pretend that the part where I have to think about how this was a puppet lovingly and specifically handcrafted for a daughter by a loving father. When I ignore all of that, I just think it's great.
Yeah. I mean, I wish, to be honest, I wish there were some more wood puns in there. I felt like we could have done a lot. I felt like we could have, there's like one point where he's like, I will go anywhere with her. If she wants to like chop me up into toothpicks, she could. I would happily go along with whatever. I was like, okay, mass murder. That's interesting.
that's extreme, but I'm going
to
let it
slide. It'd be fine if she wanted to murder me and chop me up into bits. No, so I was kind of hoping for a little bit more like, you know, a little tongue in cheek puns with his woodenness. Mm-hmm. But look, like, and I wish I had a little bit more descriptor of what was kind of going on during the sex scenes. Because like I said, not really sure quite what position they were in. But yeah. I mean, there was some really good dirty talk for a guy who didn't really know what the dirty talk was.
That's great. I'm glad.
I mean, here's the thing. It was good. It was a Pinocchio smuts book. So with that, we'll just measure with our hearts with the score.
Listen to your heart.
Do you want to give it a percentage?
Out of 100%.
Out of 100%, what are you going to grade it?
I'm going to give it a 76.
That is so specific.
Thank you. Dropping my notes.
I will give it a 79.
Wow. I feel like, no, I wish that 69 were a higher number.
Yeah, I agree. But
still funny, because yeah, if it was, I would give it that.
100%.
Yeah.
What is your say smart moment from the book?
It's, to me, still a little crazy pants that this wood person's penis would have any sort of flavor whatsoever. And also that when you would see things coming out of it, you instinctually would just be like, into my mouth hole, please. Well, so it's probably gonna be that for me, Sarah.
It's all natural. It's organic.
Well, that's usually the case anyway, but still.
Yeah, I think my big thing is how comfortable it would be. Not like, you know what I mean? He's hard. It's like,
yeah,
physically hard.
Look, there's glass dildos. There's all kinds of different dildos. I don't know if there's wood ones. I don't know that I would choose one.
But because of even his body, like you're up against somebody, like even when they were cuddling in bed, I'm like, well, he's hard. You know?
I mean, it does. I guess it's all for naught anyway, because he turns into a human.
Yeah, he does. He knows. I also think I was very surprised when I was like, oh, Hope's going to love this when I realized there was a flavor of the week. But
I love a flavor of the week.
I did think it was funny when she was like, let's get the coconut oil out. I was like, didn't see that one come.
Random.
If we are in 1800s France, I did not think we would have coconut oil just on the shelf. I also thought it was kind of fun that the whole town was not weirded out by him. I mean, they were just like smitten with him too. They were like
totally. It's funny that in this time they wouldn't see a woman and a large wooden man walking with her and not be like a witch.
Yeah,
absolutely a witch.
Yeah, the weird orphan girl who lives in the forest with her dad's puppets, like
suddenly all of a sudden emerges with a big not a witch man to buy some pants.
Yeah, no, girly could never. No, there were some good parts in here. And like I said, it was like 36 pages. It's for an amazing cause. You know what? We're going to move it up to 89% on my end for the good cause of it all. We love the cause that it's for. $9.99 on Kindle, or you can read it on KU. I'm not sure if they're distributing physical copies, if you wanted to purchase a physical copy. But yeah, that's our book. That's it.
Quickly, two things. First, I'm going to revise my score way up to 96 and hear me out. It's because it's just 69, but they flipped because they're all done and they're tired.
Okay. They're like, okay, now we need to get on our phones and roll over on our good side. Night. Yeah, good night. Good night. That's so fair.
The second thing is that I have sent you a message containing my drawing for this.
Okay. Oh, God. Okay. Most that's people. Really good. That is very good.
It was a lot of attempts.
I will put this on the Instagram story. And I think we need to add a category at the end of the year of like your favorite drawings.
Maybe
that you've done.
I'm doing notes in a sketchbook now so that I just kind of have them all in one place.
Beautiful. Okay, well, you guys, that was our book. You can find us, if you so choose, on TikTok or Instagram at Say Smut Podcast. Additionally, we'd love to hear your book recommendations. Send those our way via email at saysmutpodcast@gmail.com. Also, pop us a rating or review on the podcast platform of your choosing. And with that, oil it up,
please, with whatever you have in your kitchen. If you don't have coconut oil, all of it is fine.
And you know, go to therapy if it's something that your parent created, you know, really think about that choice. And most of all, be hesitant of what you put in your mouth, everyone.
But also don't forget to share your big, beautiful wooden man with the town.
Yeah. Don't keep him locked away.
Don't keep him locked away. Share him with the whole village. They're going to love it.
Stay smutty, you guys. Bye-bye. Bye.